Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Yeah, as a church, we are starting a series or a series of conversations, topics, diving into the Word on the Holy Spirit. So over the next couple of months, kind of towards Easter, we have different facets of who is He? What does it mean to walk with Him? What did He do in the Bible? What does that mean for us today? Obviously, there's loads of things in the Bible about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, like, you know, God coming to live in us. What does that look like? What does He produce? How does He transform us? But also the gifts of the Spirit, you know, He's the Spirit of action. He works out the things of God. He's the executive part of the Trinity, as some people might say. And what does that look like? So we want to spend a good amount of time taking our time. Good to go deep, but good amount of time over the next few weeks diving into the different things. So today we will really, for a few minutes, look at who is the Holy Spirit as a person, rather than, maybe we've all said this, but, I feel His presence. We say, the Holy Spirit's here. But actually, He's a person. He's not just a feeling, but we do feel His presence. So it's like a lot of these phrases, quite interesting, the conversations that we've had as a wider team in run out to this, like the different phrases we use or the different things. Okay, what do we actually believe about the Holy Spirit in that way or in this way, and the different experience people can have or not have? And some people obviously have come from a background with loads of experience about the Holy Spirit. And maybe you can share 1 or 2 minutes in a minute about, that actually wasn't talked about when I grew up at all. We went to church twice every Sunday, didn't you? But actually the Holy Spirit was kind of the thing on the side, but He is not a thing on the side. He is God. He's a person. So we won't obviously unpack everything about who He is today, but it's a good start. And we want to start with Him as a person. But yeah.
So everyone has said, just from the very basics, and that's how we're gonna grow and talk, and questions will be asked, and we'll talk about it. So for me, then, how was the Holy Spirit for me to start with? And probably you all have your own story of how maybe you did see the Holy Spirit or not at all. But when I grew up, for me, the Holy Spirit was actually not talked about. It was a bit ignored. Even though I went twice to church and my parents found God very important, but because the Holy Spirit is something or someone, it's like it was a bit scared. They were scared to talk about it. So yes, you say we bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the emphasis was very much on the Son and God. So for me, the Holy Spirit was actually like, okay, well, that's okay. And now, of course, and then when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I realized it is a bit of a scary thing, because you suddenly you can speak in a different language, and suddenly you can do certain things that you're actually not used to in the natural. So now looking back, I understand why they didn't put an emphasis on it. And the church where I was from, they still don't put an emphasis on, because you don't know, or they don't know. It's more a religion than a relationship. So interesting on how that experience was for me. And if you talk about the Holy Spirit, I would be like, what are you talking about? I don't have a clue. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Just for like a minute and a half, just with your neighbor in 2, 3, whatever, we're not sure. Just share briefly, what's your relationship or experience of the Holy Spirit? I know, just right, 45 seconds each, so not too long. And if you run out of things, what's one scripture you can think of about the Holy Spirit? Brilliant. I hear good conversations around. And also part of this is not just, obviously, to hear from a front, whether in a house or in a few weeks in a building. Thank you, Jesus. But this is to be explored and worked out in relationship with one another. So Jesus says to his disciples, come follow me. But I do wonder sometimes what conversations they had on the way to places. It's like, what did Jesus say? Why did he say that? I didn't get that. So it's so important that, you know, some of what we will share is maybe just a starter for 10, or what do you think about this? Or here's a scripture. How does that look like in your life? And the beyond and end all, whatever that phrase is not just this room when we talk about it, but it's maybe afterwards a conversation, or I don't understand this, or what about that? So I want to encourage us to explore this over the next few weeks. But yeah, let me just whiz through some scriptures. Is that okay? Because that's always a good place to look. First book of the Bible, if you open, you don't have to open it, but first page, Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit's right there. Yeah. And it says there's chaos, and I could spend loads of time on that because I love it a lot. But there's chaos, there's darkness and all of that. And it says the Holy Spirit's hovering, or the word can also be translated brooding, or he's there, right? So it's kind of the Holy Spirit mentioned as the presence of God. It's God, but he's in the earth, and it's chaos and it's darkness. And then this is so beautiful, interesting. Then it says God said, God, you could say the Father, God said, let there be light. Mm. And then it said, it was. So we'd understand that as God speaks, and then New Testament, I mean, this is quite short now, we would say Jesus is the Word, right? In the New Testament, the Word was with God, there was God. Mm. So God spoke, Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit did it. Does that make sense? So I'm raising already loads of, oh, this is interesting, what about this and that? And won't spend all the time on that this morning. And the Trinity and God is one, and we heard that earlier from you, and like he is one, but also he has different persons within himself, but he's God. We worship God. But then that God the Father and Jesus, obviously Jesus came to earth, the Father sent his Son. God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only Son, you know, to the world. But we also know that Jesus really had relationship with the Holy Spirit all the way through to do the journey. And when Jesus was baptized, it says it was like heaven open, and there was a voice, and it sounded like thunder, it says. It was a voice that says, this is my Son. So again, the baptism of Jesus, a beautiful moment where we see the Trinity, like God the Father, this is my Son whom I love. I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. And then it says, and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. Now, I wasn't there. I don't exactly know what it was like. Personally, I don't understand from the text that it was physically a dove coming, but it says the Holy Spirit came like a dove. So you also see those relationships. But let me go back to the beginning of the Bible. God spoke, let there be light, and it was. So the Holy Spirit is the one, the person of God that makes something happen, in that sense. But he makes happen what the Father wants. So we often would pray, God, let your kingdom come, let your purposes on the earth. You know, that would be language we're all used to, right? But the Father decides, and then he speaks. But it's the Holy Spirit who works it out. He's the executive one, so to speak. Just that. So he's the creator spirit. He's giving life to mankind. And when it says God formed Adam, and then he breathed his life. And obviously we know a Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. Is that right, ruach. Andrew? How do you pronounce that? Ruach. It's the breath of God.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's the breath of God. In the New Testament, Jesus uses this imagery of wind. So it's like you can't feel it. You don't know where it comes from, but you can feel the impact. It makes a change. And if you've seen the storms recently, obviously that makes an impact, but the Holy Spirit makes a good impact. So that's Genesis 2, that was. And then just a few characters. We probably all can think of names. But Gideon was someone where the Holy Spirit came upon him to give him courage. You know, he was hiding in a cave, but it says, you know, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. And it's like, I'm really not in myself, in the natural. But then if you read further on the story in Judges 6, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he suddenly has this courage, which is like, where did that come from? He didn't learn that at school. And he's anointed for leadership. He has wisdom. He rallies the troops, so to speak, all over the country. And he has that victory. But in other things, and I love this one particularly, in the Old Testament, sorry, when they start building the tabernacle, so God gives all this download and vision for, you know, build me this house, this tent, as you travel through the desert, as they were at that time, I want to have a place where I dwell. And God was very specific. But then it says that he gives two characters. One is Bezalel, I think you say his name, and another guy. He gives them the spirit that says came upon them for craftsmanship, creativity. They were very skilled. So personally, as a creative person, I love how the first thing God reveals on the first page of the Bible is he creates, you know, through his spirit. He's creative. Thank you, Jesus. But then also in this passage in Exodus 31.
Can we look at it?
Do you want to read it? Exodus 31, 1 to 5. He gives people by his spirit the ability to create, to form. Exodus 31, 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. He gives people the ability to. God has downloaded the plan, but they have now the ability to craft it and make that. And that was very practical. It was fabric. It was fashioning things. And And if you've got it, yeah. The first five. Yeah, go for it.
The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft." That's beautiful.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Because often, probably most of us, the first thing we
it's
think...
It's Richard, yeah?
Like, yeah, it's Richard. Like, it's he's like filled Richard. With the Holy Spirit.
And Zander.
And Zander, all of us. But all of us in different
right.
ways.
Yeah,
and
everyone.
And obviously, we also know, well, maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. I remember, Andrew, you talked about it once, that the Hebrew word for work is also the word for worship, or vice versa. So yeah. To look at our work, whether it's in a hospital or with some wood or metal or whatever we do, caring for people, actually, God, I'm here to worship you with that, but not just apart from you, but actually you've given me a Holy Spirit of creativity and skill. Like some people, like, for example, you two, you're just very good at, like, you're anointed, graced by the Holy Spirit, all of us in different ways, you know, or even at home. And I know you're very good with designing things and crafting and making people presents. And this week we know someone's in hospital. He's not in Worthing, somewhere else. And just made this beautiful gift bag of all these different things. I was like, I didn't know we had all those things in the house, but it's like socks and confetti and wooden things and cards. And we go to the shop to shop for people, like wonderful, but it's a gift. There's a, you know, and again, the New Testament talks about all different expressions or gifts of the Holy Spirit, even hospitality, compassion, to entertain, like whatever makes you come alive, to think of, oh, maybe God, you've given me a gift here. Well, we'll come to gift another time, get carried away. Some other characters, we know Samson, he was an interesting one, not necessarily, it's fine, don't you? That's fine.
Judges 15?
Yeah, I whizzed through.
Okay.
Samson was, I mean, he didn't have the most integral life, so don't take that as an example of how to live your life, especially with relationships. But he was endued with strength and power for a mission.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and if you think about it, I mean, maybe he went to the gym. I don't know what they did at that time, but that was more than just that. And, you know, he might have had his protein shakes, Rory. I know. You think, what did he use to get that strength?
Hair.
And he had long hair. Well, until a certain point. And don't cut it. Not saying that. Anyways, but there is something where God gave him something, and in his case it was that, for a particular purpose. So obviously we can apply that to our own lives. And then throughout the Old Testament, God seems to give his Spirit on people to lead, to have, either call them judges or leaders or people in responsibility that make fair judgments, that help people sort out their relationship issues, or we would say prophets that yes, foretell what's to come. And that's, you know, it's a real thing. You read things about the birth of Jesus hundreds of years later. They didn't make that up, or had, you know, they drunk a bit too much. But no, it's the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Or even moments where, you know, one prophet said, oh, we need to speak here, there's a battle here. But the king says, are you going to give me the victory, Lord? So the prophet says, oh, I need a musician. Come on, let's worship. And he plays, and it says the Spirit of God came upon the man of God. And then he suddenly had this understanding of, right, this is going to happen. He's going to come. Make sure you're there. And it's like, what's going on here? But I always love reading those stories thinking, oh, God, you're the same God today. Like, not that he gives me like intelligent secret information necessarily, but he could, like,
not
he
yet.
Knows no yeah yeah so and you know, you can apply that to your day-to-day life, like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying about my day? Is there anything I'm aware? Or maybe you, even when you get up sometimes, I don't know, maybe you have that, you discern, today's a bit, something is not quite, I'm not sure if today is going to go so well. It's like, Holy Spirit, what is it today? Do I need to pray into something? Is there someone I'm going to meet? Do you want me to prepare something? You know, like, just that awareness. But equally, on a massive scale, for our nation, you know, like, God, you know what's going on. And in the Old Testament passages, there would be kings fighting and different things. Actually, Holy Spirit, give me understanding now to pray. And we can pray for those Christians and godly people in positions of influence, that they're guided by the Holy Spirit, that even if, and there's, I get carried away now, but talks about King Cyrus in the Bible, and God specifically says to him in Isaiah 45, I know you don't acknowledge my name, so he's not a believer, if we would call it that. But he says, but I've raised you up and I've called you to fulfill my purposes, and you're going to do this, this, this. And there's a whole thing in terms of him finding the scrolls and actually people saying to him, hey, God's written about you hundreds of years before. And he's like, oh my goodness, this is my name. I'm in this book and in this time. And he helps bring Israel back in the land, supports building the tabernacle. And it's, if you read it and you understand, he's like, oh my goodness, but God's saying, even though you don't acknowledge my name. So that's an interesting one. The Holy Spirit worked upon him and used him. And it says to break through gates of bronze. And we use that as, thank you, Lord, you make the way. And he does. But in that case, it was even a non-believer that can be, like, you know, get our heads around that. But the point is the Holy Spirit comes for a purpose. And then obviously, just to finish the thing, from Genesis to Revelation, the first few chapters of Revelation, it says John was suddenly in the Spirit and he saw. So the Holy Spirit is at work throughout all the pages. And sometimes we read a phrase like the hand of God or the finger of God. Jesus says, you know, if you know, people say, oh, you know, you're driving out these evil spirits. You are one of those. You're from the devil. And Jesus says, no, I'm not. Like, a house divided against itself can't stand. But if I drive out those evil spirits by the finger of God, then surely the kingdom of God is here. Mm-hmm. So he's making that point. There's a whole other thing, kingdom, power and presence and what happens. But Jesus says it's by the finger of God. It's like that, I don't know, that action point that God's stretching out his hand or his finger, say, okay, that's enough, out, or whatever it is, you know. But how often in the Old Testament do we read things like he put his hand upon to bless? Mm-hmm. So God's hand to bless, you know, or he says to us, laying on of hands. So it's like this little, can you see those nuances? So it might not always say the Holy Spirit, but it might say the hand of God or the finger or the breath of God. So it's all things we can look out for. But something this side of the cross, just want to highlight at the start of our journey about the Holy Spirit, that he's not just a thing or a force that comes upon and then leaves again. It's not like that. That, you know, old covenant that happens and people pray, oh, Holy Spirit, don't leave me. Now, Saul, or was it David or Saul, says, don't let your presence go away, like all of that. But actually in the New Testament, Jesus says you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. Or Jesus says in John 14, now I'm going to go away. So he's going to go to the cross to be with the Father. But I'm going to send you another one exactly like me. And the word there, para, means like exactly like. So it's like, it's basically, I'm going to still be with you, but not physically, but in the Spirit. So Jesus is saying, okay, I've been with you, I've taught you, I've trained you. And the Spirit, it says that, you know, already because he's around you, will now be within you. And then another, just a bit later on, he says, if you obey my teaching, if you walk in my ways, you know, as I go to the Father, I will ask the Father and we will come to live in you by the power of my Spirit. John 14, you can read it in your own time. But it's this picture of, okay, God is the Father on the throne. Jesus says, right, I was on this earth. I'm going to go back up, resurrection body. I've done my job. But we're going to send you. He actually says, I'm going to ask the Father to pour out, which is a fulfillment of a prophecy from Joel. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Mm-hmm. So these people have been waiting for hundreds of years for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And then it's not just a, you're blessed, but only for an hour, only for your life. But he comes to live within. And actually the word, now I do get carried away, that's next week. But the word then to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, the word baptizo is like, it's completely immersed in, infused with, like when you put like the picture of a sponge or cloth, you dip it in water, and let's say it's blue water, you dip that sponge in, the whole thing is going to get blue inside out, oozes out everything. So it's not just a bit of a sprinkle or a little blessing, but the picture is that we're completely infused with, filled to overflow. So interesting then when David says in Psalm 23, and this is pre-cross, he says, you anoint my head with oil. That was a picture that they used, especially at that time. And then my cup overflows. So that even there was a sense of, I'm going to receive something from God and it overflows. But it didn't have the full fulfillment at that time. But in the new covenant now for us, God comes to live within us, to overflow through us. Or like Jesus says, like rivers of living water from your innermost being. So he doesn't just mean, you know, it's like on you and you can rub off and that's gone then. People can rub off, but it's, he says, all you are thirsty, come to me in John 7, and from me you will drink. And then out of your innermost, I don't know how deep that is, but inside there somewhere, out of our spirit, man, out of that come rivers of living water. And then the next little bit, John explains, from this, he spoke about the Holy Spirit. So some of us are more familiar with that than others, maybe. But just to put it all together like this, that then out of our innermost being flowing rivers of living water. And again, Jesus also then referring to all those Psalms, all the Old Testament passages about the desert land becoming fruitful and this. And actually, that's his purpose through the Holy Spirit in us. But again, just to remind us, he's not a thing who visits, right? But a person who remains.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is not a thing who visits, but a person who remains. So it's about habitation, not visitation.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. It's not mine. I took it from someone else, but thank you, Jesus. Habitation, not visitation. But then so often we still pray, Holy Spirit, would you visit us again? Would you come today? But that implies that he wasn't there before. I know what we mean. We mean be particularly present and manifest and at work. But let's remember that he dwells within me right now. Like if I've asked Jesus to be my Lord, he says, I give you my Holy Spirit, right? John 14, we come to live, my Father and I will come make a home inside of you, it says. So he's inhabiting me right now. So when you walk down the street later or you go to work or family, he's, you're a temple right now. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, you are a temple now of the Holy Spirit. He inhabits, he lives there. It's his address. I mean, he lives here too. He lives there, right? But he lives, so it's not like he's not there. And if we need some help at work, you know, okay, God, I just need some wisdom. He's there because he inhabits. You don't have to suddenly, you know, call a storm up, but he's there. It's often more our awareness of him that's lacking, not his presence, because he is present. So habitation, not just visitation. And Jesus said, he will dwell with you forever.
Yeah.
Someone else used this phrase, actually, Victor from Crawley, he said, it's the Spirit's indwelling presence.
Mm.
The Spirit's indwelling presence. So it's not just dwelling around us, oh, this feels good. And we can, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can feel his presence now. But it's also his indwelling. I carry him around with me. That blows our mind. He's not just outside and around us, he's inside. Just that picture, just picture that sponge. Maybe I should have brought it today. I can do that next week. Just infused with him. And I know we'll come to it, but in Ephesians 5, Paul encourages the believers, you know, don't be drunk with wine, don't do that. But instead, be filled. And the Greek word is there to continue to be. It's not once you are filled, you've ticked that Christian box. What do we do afterwards? But it's living full of continue to. And if you use that passage from Jesus, come to me and drink. I need water every day. I should drink more than I do, but I need lots of water every day. And it's not that he's not there. And I think those are some of the mysteries. Like, I thought you were there, Holy Spirit. But just think of it as, let's not get caught up too much in, is he not? But just live. He lives within me, but equally there's a place where I just need to keep drinking. I need to be in his presence. I need to receive something fresh, continue to be filled. And in Acts 4, the believers pray, God, we need to see your hand at work, and we need to see you stretch out your hand to heal, to save, because we've got a bit of pushback. And then it says the place shook and they were filled again. They were filled already. Like they had Acts 2. They were there. They were the people. But Acts 4, they were filled afresh. Sorry, I'm whizzing through a little bit, but I hope you can follow. Are you okay with me? Still awake? Yes. But not more coffee? No. But this is also a bit I love, and again we'll dive deeper into that in a few weeks' time. But he's in us, but then what he does, because naturally that's who he is, he starts changing our hearts. He starts transforming us. So in Ezekiel 36 it says, and this is, you know, hundreds of years before this happens, right? But this is the Holy Spirit comes upon a person called Ezekiel, and he just sees this. Oh, wow, God, you're going to do that. That's amazing, and we need that. And God's saying to Ezekiel, I will remove the heart of stone, and instead I will give you a heart of flesh. And at that time, it was so tricky. And if you read the Old Testament, people walk with him, they don't walk with him, they fall away. People wage war. It's back and forth, and there's law, and you have to obey this, but we know we can't do it, and it's all that struggle. And Ezekiel foresees a time where God, and further in that passage in Ezekiel 36, it says, I will replace that heart of stone that you don't want to honor God, that rebellious heart, that hard heart. I've replaced it with a sensitive heart of flesh. And I'd love to think of it as, I'm now sensitive to God. I can acknowledge him, appreciate, I can sense him. But also it says, I will write my word or my law on your heart. So it's not just, oh, I have to go through those rules and I better not, you know, get them wrong because God won't like that. That was, at that time, that was, here's the list. But now God was saying, there's going to be a time where I put my heart and my values and how I want you to live for your best, I'm going to put it in you. So you want my will. Mm-hmm. And in Philippians, Paul says, you know, the Holy Spirit works in us to will and to act, not just to I have to obey the Lord, you know, but actually, oh, Holy Spirit, where I'm struggling, thank you that you've given me a heart of flesh, that I want what you want, that my heart changes. Mm-hmm. What Jesus says, actually, I think it's also John 14 or John 16, that the Holy Spirit enables our obedience. I find that so beautiful because it's not just telling me what to do, but actually, okay, God, thank you that you give me the heart for this. Mm. And if it's loving that person that, I'm not pointing at you, Kurt, loving the person that's really difficult, you're really not difficult. But okay, Holy Spirit, help me to obey then, to love one another. Mm. And then he does. And Romans 5 says, the Holy Spirit is poured into, no, the love of God is poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit. So I'm opening loads of things, but it's a good start. And again, this, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So in Joel 2, there's again, the Spirit of God comes upon someone where this, what we know now is not normal, right? They are waiting for God to come. They're waiting for something to change. And the Holy Spirit comes. And actually what God is saying, that was a bit of a game changer, because what they're used to for hundreds of years is Holy Spirit comes upon David. He comes upon you. He comes upon Richard. He comes upon Rory and Andy. But what about me? Like, so it's the individual there and it's the individual here. But here God is saying, okay, game changer, this is cool. And he's always intended that, but here he speaks it out, so to speak, saying, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And I wonder when people first heard it, was like, what would that be like? If not just an individual and that individual, but if 10, 20, 100, if thousands, if the whole nation... If we all receive the Spirit who gives strength, creativity, who's all those things, the power of God, the presence of God, I don't know, what's that like? Obviously, the first glimpse is Acts 2 then, when God indeed pours out his Spirit, and then the rest is history, or the now, actually. But just think of that. At that time, they would have been like, this is a game changer. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. Not just Andrew or not just, you know, Holly, but Zana. We're all going to, wow. And that's our reality today. But also what God was going to do, not just to come upon to do something, but for relationship. That where God was far away and he, you know, came down a mountain and thundered and people were like, oh my goodness, this is a bit too much. Actually, he was going to say, he's going to come within you for a relationship. So we would use that term, again, we'll come to that more, but Jesus has this conversation with a man called Nicodemus and he says, you must be born again. He's like, what are you talking about? But he means born of the Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit, so you're suddenly spiritually sensitive and you know God. And so if someone really gives their life to Jesus, what happens then is that that person's born again, born of the Spirit. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, only then do you understand the kingdom. Only then are you really going to get it. So yeah, with the coming of Jesus, I won't go too much into that, but as Jesus comes on the scene and is born, if you read those first few chapters of Matthew or Luke, there's so much activity of the Holy Spirit. Mary receives the Holy Spirit. There's someone in the temple who starts prophesying. Like, there's so much happening. And Jesus wants that to continue to happen. And I'm just going to, again, point out a few more things. So in John 14, it talks about the Holy Spirit is the counselor, Spirit of truth. And Acts 2:38, it says, what must we do to be saved? People say. And Peter says, repent, be baptized for forgiveness of things, and then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift of God. So it's he's a gift. Ephesians 1 talks about we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting one. 1:13, that actually being saved, then he seals us with the Holy Spirit until the fullness comes. So the Holy Spirit in our lives now, as much or as little as we might experience, is a taster of, wow, there's so much more in this life, but also in what God has for us in the future. Again, Acts 1:8, we would appreciate that. He gives power. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power to be my witnesses. That's more the action, the purpose step again, to reflect him and bring his kingdom values. So it's, yes, it's, you know, talking to someone about Jesus and hopefully they respond to that. But actually it's discipling. It said the Great Commission is teach them to obey. It's going to all the nations, but it's discipling nations. And some people are like, what does that mean? But it's not just getting people saved. It's the kingdom culture imparted and established and the values of God. And then another scripture, Isaiah 11 is a beautiful picture of, again, someone like Isaiah has, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he sees something. He's like, wow, there's going to be a branch, he calls it, from the root of Jesse. So from the line of David, someone's going to be born, which is Jesus. And then it says the Holy Spirit will be upon him. And it says the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of power, of might, of the knowledge of God. Imagine that, the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of bringing the knowledge of God, and he will delight in the fear and the awe and reverence of God. Mm. And it's talking about Jesus, but it's the same Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we can say, okay, Holy Spirit, thank you today. You give me understanding, wisdom, power, strength, physically, all of those things. Mm. And just lastly, before we pray for a minute, I love in 2 Corinthians 14, loads of scriptures today. Maybe you can look that up in your own time. But the letter is finished with, may the love of, and you probably would have heard this maybe in a more traditional meeting, they would pray at the end, may the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and then what's the last one? And the
fellowship
of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Has anyone ever looked up what that word fellowship means? Fellowship. I hope I pronounced it right. It's koinonia. Which, again, when you look at it, has loads of different facets. But the idea of the fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit, is the common sharing, the friendship, the fellowship, the relationship, or even the deep, intimate relationship. So deep, intimate fellowship, sharing, friendship. And some of you might know him, but John Bevere did a series on the Holy Spirit, and he summarized all the different ways this word can be translated into three things: friendship, intimacy, and partnership. Because there's also an aspect to that word where it's like a business deal and a business relationship, but it's still intimate and friendship, but it's also action. So just to finish now, I just want us to just to pray, and let's just close our eyes and just in your own way, just breathe and maybe reflect on one or two things that stood out to you this morning of who he is, but also God's heart for us to know him, to be full and immersed with him, to be led by him, all the different things he brings. Yes, it's relationship with God, but then there's activity, as in creativity and wisdom and understanding and problem solving and relationship repairing. And the Holy Spirit is the counselor, the comforter, the one called alongside. Thank you, Lord. And maybe just thank God that that is for you, because it says my spirit on all people. That's very inclusive. Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you that in a time where it was so hard to relate to you, you've given your spirit to someone who said, one day you're going to change hearts. You're going to pour out your spirit on everyone. The person of God would indwell us. And we know now we live in that time that is fulfilled and available. We just need to come to you and ask. Lord, we just want to give ourselves afresh to you today. We want to know what it is to walk with you, Holy Spirit. Not just to be filled once upon a time, but to living full and overflowing now. Lord, would you transform our hearts, make us more Christ-like? Would you work through us to bless people and work out kingdom presence and values into the world you've put us in? So we thank you for that deep, intimate friendship with you. that we can have with God through the Holy Spirit, that we know you, Lord, the Spirit of the knowledge of God, the Spirit who makes God real to people. But then we also know that in that, you have your plans and purposes, and you have, like all over the Old Testament, you have specific missions and assignments for people to do because they've been anointed. Lord, I just want to ask you to show us afresh in our day to day, even the little things, what our assignments are. That, Lord, you always do everything for a reason. So if you give us your Spirit and you anoint us in a general, but also in a unique and personal way, mm-hmm. you then have assignments for us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, which goes way beyond the natural ability, but it does shape and impact what we can do in the natural. So, Lord, I just want to ask that even this week and over the next few weeks as we talk about you, Holy Spirit, as we want to be even more aware of you and how to relate to you, thank you that you reveal purpose and plan, Amen. That you have good things for us to walk in and you enable us to do them. So I just want to pray that end of that letter, that may the love of God, the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship, the friendship, the deep intimacy, and the partnership for purpose with the Holy Spirit be with us all. Mm-hmm. And it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you inhabit. You don't just visit us. You don't just come and go. You fill us to inhabit. Thank you that you are the indwelling presence of God. And we thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.